Hallelujah. Precious Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your love for us. In this world, Lord, we live in, there's a lot of pain, a lot of sickness, a lot of sorrows. But Lord, we know that you have already said in thy word thousands of years ago of the thing that will be, things that will come to a stage where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must return and to regenerate the whole earth again and bring it back to the state as it was supposed to be in the day that it was first created. So Father, we thank you, Lord, in all this mess of the world, your love, O Father, your endless love and mercy still reaches out to those that belongs to you. We know, Lord, you did not come to save the righteous. You came to save the sinners, Lord. And you call all those that will have ears, that have ears to hear, to come and hear what your Spirit says to each individual, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that you have got the gospel out, the gospel of eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord, throughout every nations of the world. And we are seeing, O Father, great revival in China. After having been under oppression, Lord, under communism for so many years. And even now it is so, Father, when the nations really desire the nations to be in atheism. But yet, Lord, the gospel has gone in to every provinces and villages, O Lord, and people are hearing the gospel and coming to know the salvation that you have offered in Christ Jesus, the only begotten Son. Smart men, intellectual men, Father, find heart to grasp the simplicity of the gospel. Atheists find it so hard to believe. Agnostics, agnostic people, Lord, they just find it hard to believe as well that a man should die on a cross for another. But Lord, you are the Creator. You are the Almighty God. And being the potter, you do what you want with the clay. And how you so desire the world to be, and how you desire the souls to be, the human being to be, Father, and how things will play that out. You already foreknown it before the foundation of the world. Lord, we are just people creating your image and have to make a choice. But yet, Lord, like many in times of old, your people rebelled against you. Because everyone, it seems, Father, having that choice to make, having that desire to do what each individual wants to do. Surely, Lord, we want to do our own things. But yet, Lord, we know not all things edify, even though they are lawful. And so, Father, we are thankful, Lord, that you have given us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, and also, Lord, an understanding that our life does not belong to us. Our life belongs to you. You hold the whole world in your hand, and yet, Father, most of all, you hold your own people in your precious hand of eternal life. So, Father, this morning as we come again to sit at your feet to learn, we ask for your grace now to open our hearts to understand. For this we ask in Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. We're going to continue where we left off in our Trail of the Serpent again. You know, there are many times that you find, oh, Brother Gunn, you're recapping a lot. I say, yes, I think it is true. But there are things that I want to emphasize that we can, that we might better understand the doctrines or the event that transpired in the past that brought us to this day, and why mankind are the way they are today. And that's why the more that we look at the world today, we see that there are people who are not Christian that you try to talk to talk about the gospel and show them the way of eternal life that is in Christ Jesus. Many of them just threw it away, brushed it aside. And I just do not want to hear. You know, God gave every man an opportunity to hear and a choice to make regarding eternal life. But many of the people I've talked to that reject the gospel was based on the ground that they believe they are some kind of animals. You're born, you eat, you grow up, you get married, you have little ones, you grow old, you die. That's it. But intelligence tells me that it is not so. Intelligence tells me that there is a purpose in life. And life, since that there is life, life must be lived. Life is not to just grow and die. And that's why, you know, talking to friends of mine, educated, well educated, smart, go to university, went to university, got a degree, and many of them think that because of their knowledge, education, they think they have their answer for what life is all about. And that is very sad. So now when we look into the trail of the serpent, we are still on it. Well, look at this trail of the serpent now. When we talk about the trail of the serpent, you must understand that it all begins in the Garden of Eden. We all know that very well. And we must understand that if we don't understand the original sin, if we do not understand what causes the fall and what we are today, then you don't really appreciate as a Christian why Christ must suffer and die on the cross shedding his blood. Right? And I believe that all of us here who understand the doctrine of the serpent seed knows the importance of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. And every time I talk to a Christian, I always pose them the question, why must Jesus Christ shed his blood? Why must blood be shed? Of course, as I said this before, oftentimes they quote the scripture, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. I say, I know that. But why the shedding of blood? Oh, the Bible said so. I said, I know the Bible says so, but why? They cannot understand. The Bible said so. A lot of people just quote the Bible like foolish people. They just have many religion quoting their sacred book, but they don't know how to explain it. You know? And if you watch YouTube, you have seen many testimony of Muslim people, why they were converted. Why they left Islam and be converted to Christ. Because of the reality that they saw of what the Quran teaches, they were contradicting the common sense. And even some have been visited by visions of Christ and angels of the Lord. They let them understand what eternal life is and where to find eternal life. You see. So your understanding the scripture is important. And that's why I've been teaching you, brother and sister, the importance of searching the scripture. Yesterday, an African brother sent me an email asking me a question. Brother, can I listen to your sermon on this? Can you show me in the scripture why you say this? I said, brother, do you have a concordant? If you have a concordant, search for it. Because if everybody asks me where is the verse to be found, you know, then I would have to spend my time just looking through it and giving it to you. Right. The question was simple. You said that Joseph had the birthright. Show me in the scripture. Where is it written? How come Judah was not given the birthright? Remember I told you why Judah did not have the birthright. Judah was the first was not the firstborn. He was the fifthborn. Or fourthborn, right? I think he's the fifthborn. How was it then that Judah had the scepter? How come the firstborn did not even have the birthright? How come the birthright went to Joseph? I already taught them. Did a verse, did anywhere in the Bible show that he, that Joseph has a birthright? Of course they have. So simple to do, look for your concordance, search for it. It's there. But sometimes we don't, we just want somebody to give us an answer, you know, searching the scripture. It's easy for you to ask a question. Only one statement, right? But for me to write it all out, it takes time to write it all out. So I said, study. That's why it's so important for you to study. Be like the Berean, study. And I believe that the day when Paul was preaching, the Berean did not say, Paul, what did the Bible say? What did the scripture say? Think about it, huh? Because in those days, they don't carry the Bible. Because they don't have the Bible like we have today, in book form. They have scroll. And scrolls are all written by hand. And you can only hear it in the synagogue being read. Or in the temple. You understand what I'm saying? So those men, if they search the scripture, of course, they go back to the synagogue, they look at the scroll that is available in the synagogue, and you open up, it's a man who studied. They go look for it. And in those days, there is no chapter and verses. Like we have the Bible broken up in this way so that we can easily look for the verse and the chapter of what we are looking for. So study takes time, but study is what gives you the understanding of those things which they will be true or false. Last week at the end, I spoke on the seed of the woman. Now the Bible said in the book of Genesis that God told the serpent, I'll put enmity between you and her seed. Right? Between you and a woman, between her seed and your seed. Now, the Bible tells us that the woman had a seed. Why did the Bible use that form? Why did the Bible use that form? Of the seed of the woman. The serpent seed. And yet we find that in the book of Job, where we read in few places, man who is born of a woman is a few days. Remember the difference I showed you last Sunday regarding that which is a seed of woman, born of a woman. The seed of woman is not the same as the phrase born of a woman. Every one of us are born of a woman. But we are not the seed of a woman. When the Bible used the word seed of woman, it specifically said about a supernatural birth. Because a woman do not have a seed. Is it not true? Literally, physically, does a woman have a seed? No. The seed belongs to the man. The man is the one who sowed. You understand? The woman is the garden. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Because now, you know, years ago, I mean, when I was in denomination, when I studied the scripture, I loved typology. I always studied typology. And then, because I realized you can use parables, they're all types and shadows, these are typology. Then when I heard the message, the brother preached to my, this man used a whole lot of typology. Because typology are only a subject, the use of typology is easy to get the message across if you are a spiritual man or woman. But if you are not, then you find it hard to understand typology. That's the reason why the disciple did not understand typology. When Jesus Christ went out there to preach in parable, a soul went for the soul. Right? And the man casting the net. A woman find treasure in the field. The leavening. All those parables. Do you understand all those? No. Nobody understands. Not even the disciple. But the people that he preached to, 3,000, 2,000, 4,000, 5,000. Ever so often Jesus preached to them, they don't understand either. And the disciples were the ones who walked with Jesus, and they asked Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And Jesus said, I spoke it that way so that the word of Isaiah will be fulfilled. That in hearing, they hear not. They hear, they heard, but they did not understand. You see, hearing is one thing. Whether you hear the voice of God is another thing. That's what the Bible said in the book of Revelation, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said. Not let him hear what the messenger said. I know every age has a messenger. Moses came, Daniel came, and they all preached. Jesus came, Jesus preached. John came, he preached. But how many of those people who heard these prophets preach, taught, they really understand what they heard? You understand? So that's why denomination churches today, traditional churches today, they preach all very simple messages on Sunday, just to satisfy the people. People are not taught the scripture. Sunday is the day everybody goes to church. And they heard, and they will hear a 40-minute sermon, and everybody is happy. There is no in-depth teaching. If you don't teach the word of God, the people do not understand. Whatever is being said from the pulpit, it is accepted as truth. And that's about it. Here is not just that. Here, you are being grounded in the word. You are being taught the real thing in the word of God, to make you look at the Bible and see whether those things be true. Do you understand? So when the Bible says the seed of the woman, it's talking about a supernatural birth, because woman cannot in herself bring forth life. The woman is a garden. What is a garden? A garden is a place where you sow seed. You plant plants. And that's why King Solomon, in the Song of Solomon, well, somebody called him the greatest lover, because he has so many wives and concubines. And what he said, I am coming to my garden, my spouse. Right? And taste of the present fruit. That's why he comes in to sow her his seed in the garden. Do you understand what I'm saying? Only the man has the seed, not the woman. The woman's womb is a fertile ground. And so the serpent came and deceived Eve and sowed his seed in her womb, in her garden. But her garden was the garden that belongs to Adam. Right? Adam knew the time was to come, because God said, let everything be for its own kind. There is a season of life. That's why you don't see animals today. Right? Trying to get on it to each other. When they are not on heat, they don't mate. And every animal have a cycle of a season of life. When they know, then they mate. But today the men are not. Humankind not. In season, out season, they mate. You know? Why? How is it? What happened? Because men supposed to be the highest of any. How? What happened? The smaller the animal, the more is the conception. And you know that, don't you? Huh? A horse, about every 9 months or 10 months, I think, or a year, they will have this mating period. You see? And if you have seen documentary, where there's a male horse and a male rhinoceros, when he is out of due season, this male are getting cheeky. So the mouth of a female horse, the female horse will give him a kick. As to tell him, hey, sweetheart, it's not yet time for your sowing. You see what happened? That because of the Eve disobedience, Eve was cursed in the womb. Our great mother's sorrow, that's why the woman's conception is 13 times a year. Every 28 days. Right? You have the son, which was not meant to be. And that's why the Bible, God says, you will be in pain and sorrow. And even in childbirth. Have you ever seen an animal when it gives birth? Look, just watch. I watched documentary, elephants, dogs, and animals. When they give birth, the mama dog and don't yell, the don't. Do you understand? They don't bark and don't yell, not the elephant trumpet. Not at all. Because it's so natural. But in the Bible, the woman was cursed with a curse. Then in trouble, this tribute, painful, labor. And you know, those of your mother, you know. And those who are children, remember your mom who carried you for 9 months. Was it 9 months? 9 months. And you know how heavy you are when it gets bigger and bigger. And when you want to come out, your mom says, oh, my. Sometimes the travailing can be very long. That's right. You see. And yet, these are truths in the Bible. Did not mention, no, it was an apple that Eve ate. It was an apple tree that Eve took a bite and said, oh, it's very nice, give it to the husband. Adam said, yeah, it's also very nice. And then the eyes will pop open, say, oh, we are naked. Really? Really? Kind of strange, huh? Do you think for a moment that Adam and Eve, when they were created, were they not naked? They were naked, right? They were naked. Walk in the garden. Well, Adam did not say to Eve, hey, you know we are naked? No, nothing happened. Where did know? But the moment they eat of an apple, or whatever fruit they may be, or what, to some said, no, it's not a fruit, it's just a disobedient act. Yeah, but disobedient, how does it happen? Disobedient to what? To the Lord God? Yes, okay, to the Lord God, but what did they do? Oh yeah, the Bible said they took a fruit from a tree, okay. So whether it's a banana, whether it's a pineapple from the floor, whatever, I mean, it's a tree, must be, not a pineapple. Pineapple is a bushy thing. But whether it's a pineapple, mango, or whatever, they took. Just imagine, if by partaking a fruit, causes them to say, hey, we are naked. Kind of strange, isn't it? Do you ever think about it? No. A lot of people don't think about it. Because it's in the scripture. Just believe it. Even though you don't understand it. Hey, my Bible tells me one thing. Let us reason together. God said. God is telling us to reason with Him. Not you telling God to reason with you. Huh? You know, it's the difference between you telling God, let me reason with you. You are trying to be the boss. You want to have your opinion. But when God said to you, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, there can be a white as snow. But when you say, Lord, I want to reason with you, that means to say that you are right and He is wrong. And you want to make God see that you are right and He is wrong. But that's what the devil came in and perverted to the mind of Eve and caused her to, oh yeah, that's very nice. Yes, have God said really? Of course God has said. But have God said, now it is a change of just one word. And everything changed. God said so. God have said. Change the whole word. Have God said. A period became a doubt, a question. Think, really? Really God said that we cannot eat? But you see, the fruit is not a fruit of a tree. If it is the fruit of a tree, like people believe, the fruit of a tree, they took it and they saw that they were naked. But naked where? Where is the nakedness? And what is nakedness? What is nakedness? How is it that Adam and Eve said, ooh, we're naked, cover the private part. Obviously, isn't it? What did they cover? They cover their private part, their sexual reproductive organ. Is that not right? Yes or no? Come on. Did they cover their mouth? And how is it that that part is naked? How is it that it's not the eye that is naked or the mouth that is naked? Look, I'm talking to you, I'm a naked face, right? I think I better cover my face. So I have a naked face. I'm looking at you. You're looking at me. You're looking at my naked face. Am I not right? My thumb is naked. I think I should cover it. Everything about us is naked, as long as you don't have a cloth on. But how is it that when they eat that fruit tree, how is it that they realize you're naked in the private part and not the mouth? Probably I make a good statement, right? Yeah. Say that, for example, you speak a wrong word. You know, you say something and get angry, you say, speak a bad word. So, whoops, sorry. You all right? You ever say that? Oops, sorry, sorry. True, I mean, you cover your mouth. Because why? It's misused. The word in the mouth is misused. So I said, oh, sorry. Yeah. So why is it not the mouth covered up? Why is it a proper part? How is it that tradition cannot look at God's word and God says, come look at it. Look at it and reason with me. Obviously, if it's a fruit tree, you eat it from the mouth must be naked. Then cover your mouth. Zip it up. God should have... Man, God should have make a zip then. Right? No. What a proper part. Common sense will tell you. It is the sexual reproductive organ that have been misused. Once you misuse that thing that's supposed to intend for good, it becomes a vile thing. Something that is terribly wrong in using that thing. That's why Adam and Eve covered that part up. And hide from God. Right? If mankind did not sin today, Adam and Eve will produce children. None of them wear any clothing. They don't have to wear any clothing. Now, look at the animals. Did animals wear any clothing? Only men make them wear clothing. You know that, don't you? Ha! They dress up the dog and you know what special party day, and they dress up the animals. And, oh! Monkey doing tricks, that's a wear. Clothing. Animals do not sin. They do not need to wear clothes. Right? Have you seen a dog look at another dog? Say, you're naked. No. You don't. But when you see a man or woman on the street, they say he's insane. I mean, I went to the Manila one time. We were driving to go to church in the early morning and we saw on the roadside a woman completely naked. You know, the brother, we were shocked and I was thinking maybe I have some clothing in a van that I was sitting on to give to her and cover herself. But we don't have none, so we don't know what to do anyway. And she just walked about here. Of course, she's not of her mind. You see. You will notice when a person is naked. Because they have no clothes on to cover themselves. What do we cover our body? And even when you go out there, you wear clothing, yes, wear dress, trousers and shirt. And yet, if you go to the beach, you see people going there with swimsuit. Well, they consider themselves not naked. But let her or he walk into the mall with the swimming trunk on. What do you think? It's not appropriate, right? Who is it? Is this man crazy or this woman crazy? In the beach, a bikini or monokini is still acceptable to society and social. But in the mall, it is a no-no. It's kind of strange, isn't it? Because you see, we have a culture of how to behave. So now when we look in the Bible, you get to understand now what nakedness really is. So it wasn't a fruit that you eat. It was a sexual intercourse that took place between the serpent and Eve. And that's what I say. The serpent intrude into the garden that belongs to Adam. Adam supposed to sow his seed with Eve in due time. Now there's a season for sowing, obviously. There's a season to sow your rice. Right? A season, as the Bible says, a time to sow, a time to reap. A time for everything. But the serpent sowed his seed in Adam's garden, which is Eve. Who is Eve? And what happened? She conceived and bare forth Cain. Now, and you and I know that once the serpent, Eve had fornicated with the serpent, she no longer belongs to Adam. Really, it does. She doesn't belong to Adam anymore. She belongs to the serpent. But what again? Eve was Adam's wife. Yeah, we know that. We know that. And she came from Adam's side, right? And the Bible said, they tell you eat of it, the day you shall surely die. And that's why the serpent knew that he cannot come to Adam and deceive him. Satan could not use Mrs. Serpent. He has to use Mr. Serpent. And the serpent is not a snake. Well, that to be true from the Bible because he can talk. And don't let denomination tell you any otherwise. Oh, Balaam's ass could talk. Oh, the parrot could talk. They don't even know what. The word talk means to utter. That's why the Bible used the word very carefully. To be able to communicate. Can a parrot communicate with you? No. Can Balaam's ass communicate with you? Or any animal communicate with you by talking? You go on and talk to a dog. Here, boy. Catch. You throw, right? Because you're trained to behave like that. Obviously. But we are trained already all these years. Get up in our morning, what we do? Go to your toilet, brush your teeth, wash your face, right? Trained. There's a breakfast for you to eat. Yes, when you go to somebody's house, remove your shoe. Isn't it true? Yes. So, Adam have no choice not to pick, not to rescue Eve. That's why I talk about the sin of Adam. And few people really understand the sin of Adam. What was the thing that Adam had committed? What did he commit? Huh? Adam committed a sin by rescuing Eve. Because if he doesn't identify with Eve in her sin, Eve will completely be destroyed by God. Because the Bible says, the day you eat of thou shalt surely die. Yes? And Adam just said, okay, God is going to take your life. And then, after that, Adam will have no wife. Adam will be the only lone ranger in this whole wide earth. And you won't be here today, I won't be here today. Huh? But Adam cannot leave her wife because she said, you are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. My part, my heart. No matter what you have done, I have to rescue you. How many of you don't love your spouse? The Bible says, love your wife. No matter how bad she is, how good she is, whatever, love your wife. And wife, submit to your husband, and so on and so forth. Huh? No man marries a woman and starts slapping her. That's crazy. The man is off his head. But he, Adam, had to rescue Eve, and in working by rescue Eve. Now that's why people, a lot of people in Adam just still do not understand this. Eve committed fornication, an act that was wrong to begin with. Right? She belongs to Adam, but she went and joined to the serpent. So now she become part, belongs to serpent now. But when Adam took her back, that's wrong. Because she belongs to the serpent already. But people argue, but she belongs to Adam. I know. But don't you see, dum-dum, that she already identified with the man, the serpent. With that man's serpent. Once you, let's say for example, why did Joseph, come on, but the Bible will give you an answer. Why did Joseph want to put away Mary? When he found that Mary was with John. What? If Mary was actually pregnant, not by the Holy Spirit, but by another man. Right? Means that she and that man must be husband and wife. So Joseph cannot take her. You understand? Because that would be adultery. And that people do not understand. That is why adultery is something which God does not want. A man must be faithful, not cheating on the wife, or the wife cheating on the husband. That's why what is adultery, in another word, is called whoredom. Right? That's why what the Bible said, why God is against those people who take His word and commit fornication with it. When you take the word of God and you mix with the word, man-made doctrines and mix with it, that is spiritual fornication. And God hates it. Do you understand? Are you clear on this? God does not like mixing. God does not like fornication. You are in the light, you live in the light, not in darkness. But there are those who say they have the light of God's word, but they are living in darkness of tradition of the church. And because of what Adam did by identifying with Eve in her sin, God now will look for the head, never look for the tail. Do you see? Adam, what a doubt. He didn't say, Eve, why? Don't you know that God knows everything? You believe that, don't you? God knew what happened, what took place in the Garden of Eden. Who committed the thing first? Who committed the disobedient or go against His commandment? First, it was Eve. He didn't look for Eve. He looked for Adam. He didn't even look for the serpent, because the serpent was not created in His image. So Adam, where are you? He hid himself. As if God doesn't know. As I said this many times, God knew. But God always wanted a response. Adam, where are you? Tell me where you are. So it means to say, Adam, just keep quiet. Well, maybe God didn't know. You think God doesn't know? Yeah. Maybe he tell you. He's walking there. And the Bible said God walk, right? He came down in the garden and he walked. It means God came down in the form of a man. It's theophany. And he walked. Adam, what are you? Because God had an appointed time with Eve and Adam and sit together with him and her to fellowship. Is fellowship good? Is fellowship important? I love fellowship. To sit around and talk about God, talk about the things of God, talk about the blessings of God. Over a cup of coffee, or over char kway teow, or hamburger, whatever. And sit and talk about the love of God. So Adam, where are you? You know, Adam, I'm not sin. I'm waiting for you at the river, by the tree of life, and waiting for you to come. You're not around. Where are you, Adam? He didn't call Eve. Not for one moment did he call Eve. Because God find the head. He will find the head and make the head responsible. For the family, for the wife, for the children, everyone down. That's God's law. When anything happens to the head, all the family will go. Remember Korah and Dathan? He's the kind of God. Look at Joshua, he's looking at Brother Rowley. Because the head is responsible for the family. That's right. You know. And that's why God said to Cornelius, if thou wilt believe, thou shalt be saved in thy household. Cornelius must set the example of believing God, set the example of being a believer of God. And the family, the household of workers, look at him. He's a godly man. Yes, he's worshipping a true God. We want to follow too. Right? You cannot expect to live a rotten life as a Christian and expect the family to believe. No. You find a heart. Because they are watching. Yeah. So when you become a Christian, start your life anew. It may take 10 years, 20 years before your children come to see the truth that you have. The beauty of the Word of God. The life that God has given you. Huh. So because of this, the serpent was cursed, Eve was judged, Adam was judged, and you understand one thing very common, but you can see very clearly in the book of Genesis. God did not curse the reproductive organ of the man, only the woman, because she was the one who did it. But what did God curse for Adam? He cursed the ground. Because you are dust, I create you from dust, and the ground shall bring forth thorny thistle. Now you have to toil. Why? Because I'm going to get rid of this serpent now. He will no longer be your servant. To the serpent, you strip him off his legs and hands. And upon thy belly you shall crawl. And dust you shall eat because you got no more hands. Right? That's the only animal that is the closest to man that kept mixed with man's DNA and genes. But that serpent is gone. There's no animal that is next to man that you can fuse the egg and the seed together. You can't. There's no more. But people don't believe in that. This is what we call the affinity of things. Look at the donkey and the zebra. Oh, how come there is an animal called a zidong? Where does it come from? It came from a donkey, come the zebra, which is a male, and a donkey, which is a female, and man mixed them together and produced a zidong. But take the male zidong and take a female zidong and made it. It cannot produce. Because the Bible said the law said it dead. The day when you mix and hybrid, it dies. The seed dies. We're talking about the seed. You take a liger, a lion, and a tiger, mix them together, you get a liger. A liger, a female, ligerus, a female, mixed together, turn mate, they can't produce. That's also why the day that Adam commit and Eve commit that sin. What happened to us spiritually? The seed is dead. We are finished. Spiritually dead. We have no life. Sinking into the world, the dead hear of it, thou shalt surely die. You die, spiritual death. Not in the seed, but spiritual death. The spiritual seed, that's why they need to be born again, quickened. The seed begin to die inside us. So we don't know God. Our spirit know not God. The spiritual man that Adam was. And the veil was taken away from Adam. So Adam can no longer enter into the dimension of God. That's why here we are in the three-dimensional world. We cannot see beyond this dimension. Into the four, fifth, and sixth. We can't see them. Unless God removed the veil for you to look beyond it. So death came in spiritual death. That's what the day thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die, was spoken of spiritual death. When the spiritual death takes place, physical death must follow. When your spirit is dead, when the soul is dead, the body starts to die as well. Because what? Life is in the spirit. Do you know that without the spirit in you, there's no life? Even the natural people out there in the world, when they are born into this world, God gives them the spirit of life. Not that eternal spirit of life that is through Jesus Christ giving you salvation. Not that kind. You understand? A child that is born receives a life from God to live. You see? So, Adam and Eve spiritually died, and of course, the physical body start to die. So now, but then it is promised, as we said, the seed of a woman, not born of a woman. The seed of a woman refers to a supernatural birth of someone who is to come that will destroy and bruise the head of the serpent and provide salvation for all those that believe. Alright, so now, when God said to the serpent, I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed, 4,000 years later, that's 2,000 years back, there was a woman that was visited by an angel, and that angel was Gabriel. Right? And of course, it was a wonderment to hear what the angel said regarding she being the woman that will carry the Messiah. And a wonderful. Of course, that was a surprise visit. What do you think? How do you think? I mean, what do you think the feeling was for Mary? Huh? Aesthetic. Maybe awesome. Oh. You know, maybe in a moment of being in a shocked state. But whatever the angel told her, she said what? Be it unto me according to thy word. Be it unto me according to thy word. So, because she believed. If she did not believe, she will not be pregnant with the life of God. If you do not believe, you will not be pregnant by the word of God. You see how important that is? You hear the gospel, you hear the truth. If you don't believe, the seed of God's word being sown to you is useless. It will fall to the ground. That's it. That's why it's important that when we share the gospel or share the truth with people, do not cast pearls before swine. Right? Don't waste your time with people who does not want to believe. So when you accept the word, be unto me according to your word, O Lord. When you accept it, when you receive that word of God, the seed word of God, then you are impregnated with life. Then you can be born again. Now, Nicodemus is just one fine example of a man who tried to find eternal life. Approaching Jesus kind of night and asking questions, right? He must be born again. But he didn't understand it, so Jesus had to keep on talking with him like it to see. So later on we find Nicodemus to be a believer. When you receive, therefore it be. Jesus can say, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto myself. Jesus Christ told the blind man, do you believe? Jesus Christ told those people who want to be healed, do you believe? When they say yes, then you get impregnated by the word. Like Philip talking to the eunuch on the way, huh? In the desert of Gaza. Talking to him about the word of God. Came to the water there, he said, here, much water, I want to get baptized. But they said, do you believe? He said, yes. Then you may go into the water. So it is important therefore that we receive the word openly, truthfully, and then we get a blessing. Alright. So now when we go and look into it further and go back again to the book of Genesis, where I just to pick up some of this point to tighten it up a little bit. You know, when God created, after he created Adam out of dust, and he said in chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Now all this is a mysterious saying of God. Well, on the superficial, oh, it's so simple. You know, it means this. Yeah, of course, but there is always something that is hiding underneath the word of God. It is not good for the man to be alone. I'll build him a helpmeet. And we realize that when God in all creation, the way that God did all these things, we realize God was speaking of himself as well. For he do not want to be alone. Right. How long have God been alive? Huh? How long have God been in existence? For eternity. Why came God Don't ask me. Ask him when we get there. And his answer will still be the same. I am that I am. I always am. Mysterious. Huh? That's not why I have often wondered many times. I just sit down and think to myself, how is it that I'm here? How is it the whole universe exists? I know that God created, but who is God and why is He? And how did it appear and how did He exist? Where did He come from? Have you ever wondered about this? Huh? Isn't it? And then in the end of it, I crack my hand and crack my head. I realize He just is. He always is. That's why He used the word, I am. He never said, I was, I am, and I will be. I was, I am, I will be means in that talk about time. In the past, present, and the future. God is not was, am, and is to be. God has always been the I am, the present one. In every history, in the past, every history that is coming in the future, He is always there. He is the I am, the I am. Not I was, that I am, that I will be. No, I am, that I am. Yahweh, Wahid, the ever self-existing one. Huh. Right. So still number mine, still sometimes I always wonder about it. You still do? I still do. Wonder, wow, how did it come exist and how it would be? Just the mind just wanted to know, not to know. But in the end, the answer is still always there. I am that I am. And you have one day I think if you're going to ask God when I'm in heaven about it, God's answer will be, I am that I am. You know. Right? Yes. Like I said this to you, years ago I asked my daughter, did God create me to be your father? She said, yes. I said, no. I was then in the Philippines and in Manila I was teaching and I was sharing with them. I asked a young boy, did God create you to be a Filipino? And that you will be the son of this sister here who is your mother? He said, yes. I said, no. I don't worry at all. You see, God did not create me to be a Chinese. No. He didn't create me to be a Chinese to be born in Singapore. No. It's just that I am born here. I'm a Singaporean. I'm a Chinese. Huh? Because why? The fruits are scattered around the world through the three sons of Noah. You don't know where you're going to come from until you are born. Now you are sitting there in the Philippines with a mango tree. A mango tree! And then the mango, the three fruits and all the mango drops on the ground. Here comes the elephant, he eat it, and he went to India. Another elephant eat it and went to Africa. He said, I want to be African Indian. I'm an African elephant. Alright, and here we have a kangaroo. You know, he also eat it and hop. He went to Australia. And then you have, he laid a seed there in Australia, an African elephant laid a seed there in Africa, and then an elephant laid a seed there in India. So what happened to all those mangoes? Hey, we have different kind of mango today. Right, it all came from the same mango. But why is the mango different? Because of the garden where it was sown. How come you are the way you look? How come our brother Eric from Africa, the way he looks? And why is Filipino look different? And why is the brother here look different? All the Indians, Chinese, they're different. Why? And you know that the Chinese in China look different from our Chinese in Singapore, right? Yes. Why? Even the Singapore Indian, her sister Eunice, why is he different from the Indian from India? The one in Punjab, one from down in Tamil Nadu, all different. Why? And even in Africa, you can notice the different tribes, different country Indian. I mean, in Africa, those in the north, those in the south, those in Congo, they are very different. The Karamoja, the Maasai, huh? Very different. The other day I think it's an African lady. Her feature was brown, shining brown. Wow, that's different. You know, it's not black in color, but dark brown, like chocolate. So that's pretty, you know, because of the color of that. You know? And look at we Chinese, we're all quite different in color.
Verse 1.
How is it so? It's because we are all planted on different kind of terrain. Earth, the ground, the soil. That's how we are. And we don't know where we don't know. We don't know who we are until we are born. Isn't it? So when I'm born, oh look, then I want to be born as American or a white man or European. Wouldn't it be nice? I find Sister Bloody living out there in Norway, you know. Wow, that's a nice place. Of course, very cold. Huh? Yeah, well, maybe I would say, maybe I should be born a Japanese because I'd have to have nice sashimi to eat, maybe wagyu beef. Or if you want to be born in China, in Sichuan, oh, all the Sichuan food, all that chili padi thing, all the hot peppery thing. Huh. You understand? Or maybe you're born out there in Namibia. Or someplace out there in the jungle where you are the bushman. You know the bushman, right?
Yeah.
So, you never know until you're born. And wherever you're born, you're born. And you know what? Unfortunately, every one of us here, we were not born of royalty. Wouldn't it be nice if you're born with a silver spoon in your mouth? Huh? And you're walking in the palace? Wow! But you know one thing? It's not all about the nice place or nice family you're born into. You don't know. I saw a documentary movie about J. Paul Getty. You know who he was? The richest man in the world. He is so filthy rich, we will say. And when his grandson was kidnapped, he would not even pay his ransom. Terrible. And he died, of course. And what happened to all his riches? Well, he gave it to the museum. He collected artifacts. And he gave to charity. Oh, goodness, good. But those that were related to him, they suffered under his hand. He's a miser. Like Scrooge. You know that? He said the Scrooge, whatever they call him, the one with... What is his full name? Donald Scrooge? Huh? Scrooge McDuck. Okay. You see, Scrooge McDuck. Okay. You see, some people when they're rich, they just, you know, they just count money, look at money, and all that thing. So, do you think they're born in the rich? Of course, at the same time, you do not know, you count ourselves fortunate. We could be born in Syria right now, to a family where the bomb is being dropped. We could be born in the year when Hiroshima was bombed. We could be born right in the middle of the Second World War, or the First World War. Isn't that true? Right. That's the reason why we don't know who we are until we are born, and discover that, I'm born in Singapore. I'm a Singaporean. You see, my grandson, he's a Singaporean, but he's born in America. Huh? But I hope that he knows that he's not American. You know? Hey, really, I'm here, this is what I am. Oh, this is my family. My father is a doctor, my father is an engineer. So God did not make you to be who you are. To be born to so and so. No. You're only born when you realize, I'm related to this man as my father, this woman as my mother. And so is my brother and sister. That's how it is. But you see, the most important thing is what? That we ought to be recognizing ourselves to be born of God into God's family. Right? Yeah, that's most important because after all, this life is just a temporary life. You see? And in the family of God, there's the Chinese, there's the Indian, there's the Singaporean, the Filipino, and Africans, and whatever you have in the big family of God. And you know what? When you go to heaven up there, everyone knows each other. You cannot tell God, look, I don't want to be a Singaporean. Can you check my face look like an American man? You will not get that. There's no changing. The beauty of it all is that whatever we are is what we are. But we are clothed with a spiritual body that's so supernatural. There's no sickness, and there's always joy, peace forever. No more sorrow, no more tears, nothing. Think about that which is coming. And I just sometimes want to comprehend how it will be. The very instant that my body changes, I enter there. You know, I will probably stand out there in awe and just take in the whole sight and the beauty of this experience. Just at the day when I give my heart to the Lord, what an experience. To feel the burden of sins float away. The burden is lightened by the Spirit as you take it away. And then you feel so relieved. It's real. You know. So then it's not good that man should be alone. And so God wants a family. Therefore God have to create a woman for Adam. And that's the reason why, in God's experience, God came out to be a man, and He said, this is not good for the man. You see, the Bible did not say, let's look into this verse. Verse 18, chapter 2. And the Lord God said, it is not good for the man. He didn't say it's not good for man to be alone. Because Adam is man, right? The word Adam means, what does it mean? Adam means man. Mankind. He didn't say it is not good for man to be alone. He said it is not good for the man. Specifically targeting at the man. And when Jesus stood before Pontius Pilate and then before the cloud, what did Pontius Pilate say? Behold, what? The man. I found no fault in him. The man. That's why God came down to living tabernacle in Christ. The man. And God gave him a family. Adam was put to sleep and God took from his sight and formed a woman for him. God put Jesus Christ to sleep on Calvary's cross. From his side flows water and blood. Alright? From his side, God formed a bride for Jesus Christ. For the water and blood speaks of life. You see? And that's why the blood was important. For it is the blood, the eternal life is given. Now, we talk about the blood. The Bible said, every sin will have a repercussion. It means every sin will be judged and will be meted out judgment fit for that crime. What the Bible said, an eye for an eye. Right? An arm for an arm. A leg for a leg, obviously. That's what happened in those days. You kill a man's life, your life will be taken. If you poke somebody's eye in anger, your eyes will always be taken out. An eye for an eye. Do you understand that? So the Bible says also continue to say blood for blood. So we realize that if Jesus Christ need to shed blood, was because blood was involved in the fall of man. What blood was it? What blood was it? It was the blood of the serpent that intruded into the garden of Eve. And because of Eve and the serpent together, it created Cain. Cain was a hybrid. Got it? Cain was a hybrid. The father was a serpent. That's why God told the serpent, I'll put enmity between your seed and her seed. And that was enmity even. Literally to speak of the seed of the woman at that time of Eve, her seed. Was referring also to Abel. And that's why Cain killed Abel. Because what happened? And the fighting, the killing was all about religion. You know how Cain sacrificed to God and God rejected it? How the Abel sacrificed to God, God accepted? Why is it like that? Why did God accept the sacrifice of Abel? Not Cain. It was because of the blood. Adam knew what happened and taught them about sacrifices. And Adam, I don't know how often he offered sacrifice to God, because those days there was no law. Sacrifices were free will offering to the Lord. So I don't know how often Adam sacrificed an animal to the Lord by slitting his throat and drain the blood and send it up as a burnt offering. In remembrance of what happened. And so I had Cain, Abel, came time for them now, adult now, to give their own sacrifice. And so Cain brought from him, for himself, the fruits of the garden. Abel took it from the firstling of his flock. Now what's the difference? You see, why did God reject Cain? Even though Cain's intention was very good, Cain's offering was good, but it was not good enough. That's why, don't think your work is good. I did this for God, I did that for God. Huh? And the song says, you know, I've often bowed and said, I have sacrificed a lot of things and so on for God. All our works are filthy rags. But because the Cain thought, well, all these are beautiful fruits I make with my hands, I give it to God and sacrifice it. Was good intention, the best, the Bible said, the best of the field. And Abel took the best of his flock. But both of them were best, but one of them lacked blood. So God did not accept him. Except Abel. Abel known it was blood all the time, because the father taught them what happened in the garden. Blood was mixed. And that's why Cain, in Cain, there was that spirit of worship. Animals do not worship God. Remember this. The serpent did not worship God. Animals do not worship God. Somebody said, oh yeah, they do. So which animal? The wolf. Because when the time comes for the full moon, it means a season for worshiping God. Woo! They said that. The wolf worship God during the full moon. How silly can that get? And even the cock, the rooster, when the sun gets up, it crows. And it worships the sun. Have you heard people talk like that? Have you know that the cock, this rooster, this cockerel, sometimes they just crow any moment of the time. They can crow in the middle of the night. Huh? That clock doesn't reset its time. Clock. Doesn't know when to crow. Now animals do not worship God. Don't forget. They don't worship God. But Cain did. Was because Cain, hybrid, serpent, the other side was from Eve. That's why from the Eve, from that genetic of Eve, because in every gene there is life. God gave Adam the life, God gave Eve the life, and that life was his spirit. Alright, in his own image. And only those who are in the image of God can worship God. Atheists! Why don't they worship God? It seems that they are not created in the image of God, huh? Behave like animals. That's what they say. They are just like animals. We don't worship God because, well, there's no God. See, from all of their mouth, they testify. From all of their mouth, they say things and you know. Satan uses the serpent to give all this down the line to frustrate the plan of God, to frustrate the church of God. Do you know how it is for a preacher who knows the truth to speak the truth and the people just refuse to accept it? They want to live in darkness in the tradition of the churches. You know how frustrating that is? And you want to tell this preacher not the truth, they won't hear it. Because they are so proud of themselves. They have thousands of people, man. I have 10,000 members in my church. And you are telling me how many people you have. You're telling me about how to be a preacher, what to teach. You understand what I'm saying? Now the same in the days of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees came, the Sadducees. They are how many? It is estimated by Josephus, the author of the book of the Antiquity of the Jews. Back in his day, he estimated that there are 6,000 Pharisees. Pharisees alone. The public saw they came to Jesus Christ and said, you're telling us the truth. You're teaching us the truth. You're teaching nonsense. You're blaspheming against God. Look, man, we have 6,000. And you only just one with only 12. And you claim to have the truth. You see the mentality of people? You see the mentality? Satan is coming against God's people, and God's people will always be the little flock. Little flock. And God always lies in simplicity. That's always true. God is not a show-off or trying to prove to somebody that He is God. No, He doesn't have to. But a lot of preachers, they think they want to prove themselves to be somebody. So, when we talk about why the shedding of blood, blood for blood, okay, blood for blood, one way. When Cain was born, later on we find that the Bible shows us, let everything bring forth his own kind. The Semitic people, because Abel was killed, God gave Eve another son. That was said. The Semitic people, they marry among themselves. The Canaanite people marry among themselves. But not very long after the fourth, fifth generation, the Bible tells us in chapter 6 of Genesis. And I always say this, people need to look at it very carefully. Who do we blame for the problems of the hybrid? Who do we blame? And in chapter 6, we find it over here. In the first verse, and it came to pass when man means mankind, alright, everyone, began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughter was born unto them, that the son of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wife of all which they chose. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive in man. For that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. When man began to multiply upon the earth, daughters were born to mankind. But the sons of God, referring to the Satan. And they saw the daughters of men. Now look over onto the other side. And took to marry the Canaanite wife. Canaanite woman. Took them to wife. So when these hybriding start to cross, what do you have now? The Satanite will mix already with the Canaanite. And the Canaanite people mix with Satanite. And all third, it comes to the generation of Enoch. And Enoch says, God is going to judge the whole world. He's going to send angels to judge the world, looking into the future. But by the time that Noah was around, poor Noah, he was the only person, if you look at us, Bible carefully, look at all those sons of Seth. They were all married around less than 200 years old. They married 100 plus, 140, 184, something like that. They have a wife. All those listed were the firstborn. But when it comes to Noah, number 10, from Adam, he was 500 years old when he got the first, when he got his son. What does it tell us? Everyone was, they married at less than 20 years old. 150, 160 are the average. But Noah married when he was 499 years old, or perhaps 500 years old, he married. And 9 months later, he got a son. Why did it take him so long to marry? Because we already know, but if you look at it, from the sixth generation down from Adam, already was so much of cross hybriding among the two lines. Until he couldn't perhaps find a woman of the Semitic people. Because the Semitic woman also wanted to marry those brawny men. You know, the Kenyan people are very brawny, very intelligent people. The Semitic people are not intelligent by right. They are just simple people, not because they are not intelligent. By their own simplicity, they're just being shepherded. Do you get it? Right, they're shepherds. Looking after the flock of sheep. They do training, of course, with the Kenite. And who are the Kenite? They're Kenite farmers. By the time anyway, the fourth generation, already they wanted to start to build city. Because why? They began to learn about not only just wood, they learn about bronze, metal. They use metal, huh, bronze. And then they can make instruments. And think about it, the instrument, look at the worldly music today. How they use instruments and make music. And that's what the Bible tells us. You know. So when they make a hybrid and make, so Noah looking for a wife among his own people. Probably they are not to be married. But as I say this, if there were none over on his side, there must be one or two over on that other side that love the same God as he worshipped. Remember, the two camps start to mix already, huh? Because civilization. Just that we have fiction over, like Singapore have fiction with Malaysia, right? Those days, you know, oh, this and that, and, you know, but yet we cross the causeway. You know that, don't you, huh? We can cross the causeway and cross over here, well, we still do training, all this, and Singaporean married Malaysian, Malaysian married Singaporean, right? You all know that. And even here we have over the sea, over to Philippine, or Philippine man married the Singaporean girl, or the Philippine man, I mean, Singaporean man married a Filipino woman, the Filipina. Right? Happens. But they all live always nearly together. But there is one woman that would love to have Noah and believe in Noah's God. And that woman was Naamah. And people ask me to prove it. I have proven it. And people don't want to hear about it. How do you prove that it was Naamah? Look at the Bible as we close on this. Just to let you recap all this. Okay. And then in chapter Genesis, okay. Which chapter is that? Okay, chapter four. And we have in verse 16 the descendant of Cain. Alright? Remember Cain was a tiller of the ground, right? Remember he was tilling the ground? He was a tiller of the ground. He was a farmer. So his people were a farmer until they discovered metal. In history you can read about it. They discovered metal. Then they started to build city. Alright? They build metal, they forge metal, and then they build city. So now as we read down, you find that in verse 19, you have Lamech to unto him two wives. Again, we see this. Every time when you look and study the trail of the serpent, it is very clear cut how Satan would always thwart the plan of God, destroy God's word, twist God's word, bring something into God's word, and you know, by and by, God's people will follow the same, will do it. You know what I mean? Look, why do we have all these false doctrine in churches today? Because sinners introduce it. Then my people accept it. And one of the doctrines that is widely accepted is the doctrine of the Trinity. Right? And yet today they believe Trinity is true. Huh? And they even create what we call a statement or definition or whatever they want. I don't know how you call it. They said that if you don't believe in the Trinity, you're not a believer. And then they even say, those who do not believe in the Trinity, let him be anathema. Wow. You know how serious that is? You see, like my friend said, if he did not believe that the two trees are literal trees, let him be anathema. Well, that's foolishness, you know. Huh? And they will say that the Holy Trinity is a mystery. If you try to reason it in your mind, you will lose your mind. Of course. So they are trying to make this definition, reference, I mean, define whatever you want to mix them up, all of this to sort of, scare you a little bit. Or try to make so sure that the word they said in such a way that it seems that what they are saying is true. So by and by, people believe in it. Yeah. Until the earlier 20th century. 1906, when the Holy Spirit was poured out in Azusa Street and several parts of Europe and UK. That the people's eye was open, that the Trinity was a false doctrine. Yes, the eyes were open. And the even baptism in the name of the Son and the Holy Ghost was wrong. They know that Acts 2:38 was the right formula. Yes. And they started the Pentecost movement. Well, so to say, in less than two decades, they were split. By and by, like the examples of God, they went back to Matthew 28:19. The UPC, the PAW, they still hold on to Acts 2:38 and the wonders of the Godhead. You see the subtlety of this. So now he says here, Lamech took himself two wives. My guys are two wives. You see, polygamy is not supposed to be. He introduced polygamy. God did not introduce polygamy. Like one preacher was trying to justify his action by saying that God introduced polygamy. I says no. Show me in the Bible that God can contradict his own word. No. God never contradicts his own word. But the word God allowed David to have more than one wife. Solomon had more than one wife. That is God allowed it. But that was not God's command. God allows it for a moment of time. That's why when Jesus came, he brought everything back straight to the beginning. That's why Paul knew the truth. That's why he said that a man who has more than one wife cannot hold any office in the church. He will not allow a deacon who is married with two wives to hold office. Not a man can be an elder to hold office. A man can never be a preacher if he has two wives. God forbid it. But you know, tradition teaches people such a way that blinds people. People don't see it. So who is introduced polygamy? Lamech. And who is Lamech? This is Lamech Ben Cain. It's not Lamech Ben Sam. No. It's Cainic line. So he got two wives and he continued to say, the name of one was Adah, the name of the other was Zillah. And Adah bare Jubal, he was the father of such a dwell in tent, and of such have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all such a handle, the harp and the organ. Now very strange in and out. When people don't realize, when God writes something and put names in it, you have to wonder why he called it, why he put names. Because we know that before that, the only one, only the name of firstborn were mentioned, right? Look at verse 18. Unto Enoch was born Arad. And Arad begat Mahujah. And Mahujah begat Matusah. Matusah begat Lamech. Right? Only the firstborn one mentioned. Obviously, they all have brothers and sisters. Why were they not mentioned? And why were their wives not mentioned? When the moment that God mentioned a woman's name, look at it carefully. Ah, mystery of mystery. People ask me how to prove it. I said, look at it closely. Huh? Look. The Bible said, Lamech have two wives. The one of them was Ada, the other one was Zillah. Why give the name? And then he further tells us that Ada begat Jabba, and he was the father of such a dwell in tent. Why mention about it? Why mention that he was such a dwell in tent and such a cattle? And his other brother was Juba. And then he says, Zillah, verse 22. Zillah also bare Tubakin, and instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. Why did the Bible tell us about their occupation? Simple. God wants us to know where the Kenite line, the pure Kenite line, ends. Just like it tells us where the pure Sadic line ends. It ends with Noah. But here, who does it end with? Their pure last firstborn. Who was it? In this line, it says, Lamech, two and two wives. The first wife, Ada, gave birth to Juba. He was such a drawn in tents, right? And such to have cattle. So what does it tell you about Ada? A woman who is from the other side. Ada was a satellite. Right? So now, Lamech was a Kenite, married Ada, a satellite, gave birth to two sons. One son, dwells in tent, and what? It says here, had cattle. So he was a cattleman. He was a shepherd. But the other son handles the harp and organ, metal. So that is to say that from Ada and Lamech, one son took to the mother, one son took to the father. Remember the gene? Any children that are born, some say stronger, that behave like father, some say the other one behave like the mother side. So that is what we see. But the other one, look, he says in verse 22, Zillah also bare Tubakin, the instructor of every artifact in brass and iron. So the second wife, Zillah, came from the Kenite side. If Bible tells you the occupation, I want you to take notice, because God don't mention it for fun. Why did the Bible mention it? Everyone wonder, why do not the Bible mention just like to say, Lamech had two wives, one is called Ada, one is called Zillah, and give birth to this son and that son. That's it. Why mention about the occupation? That's why God called my attention. Look at it. You can prove it. It's here. You understand? Now, so if the first wife, Ada, came from the Satan, his firstborn son was Jabba. Jabba cannot be listed under the next name. Why? Because he was a hybrid. Are you following me? Are you following me? The name of all the firstborn are listed one after another, one after another one. But the moment you have a firstborn that is mixed of blood, it's cancelled out. It's cancelled out. It's never listed under the father's name. So Lamech was the last of the pure Kenite. Okay, now go to the verse 22. Zillah also bare Tubakin. He sort of every artifact to brass and iron. And the sister of Tubakin was Naamah. Why mention the name of the sister? Why about the name of all the sisters and brothers of all the other children? Even the name of the satellite, all only firstborn mentioned. They have brothers and sisters, you know. But why are they not named? Because it's not important. When God mentions it, God wants you to call attention. To understand the scripture, God hides it from the wise and the prudent. Who was Naamah then? Naamah was a daughter of Lamech. But the wife that gave birth to Naamah was also a Kenite. So So Naaman was a killer. And why her name was mentioned there? Because she plays a part. The reason why God put her name, God wants you to look and open and understand. God don't have to tell you every detail and feed you milk, milk, milk. There's a lot of people that ask a lot of questions. God said, come and ask us together, look closely. The subject lineage and with who? Noah. Is that right? What is that lineage? Right over in the book of chapter 5 and verse 32 as we close. And Noah was 500 years old, so, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Right? Huh? Chapter 5, verse 32. Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So, Noah was the last of the Pesalah. Because why? Shem, Ham, and Japheth have their own genealogy. Why have their own genealogy? If Shem, which we know it wasn't Shem, was the firstborn. No, Shem was the lastborn. God reversed the whole name. If Japheth being the firstborn, if he was a pure Shemite, then his name would be under Noah. You understand what I'm saying? Will be under Noah. And Japheth's son, if he married a woman that is pure, his name will be under Japheth and continue down. But the moment any of the sons that married a woman not of the same lineage is lost. It is cut off. So that's why the last of the pure sons that ends with Noah. That's what the Bible says. He gave birth to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Reverse the name. Why was his name lost? He must have married a woman from the other side. And who was that woman? Naaman. For her name was in the Bible, was not for nothing. Now, I didn't know that until one day I came across a manuscript or an old book from the Jew. And it's called the book of Japheth. Joshua. That's my mark of justice. The book of Joshua. It was mentioned in the book of Samuel. I came across that book and, I mean, that book is not canonical, right? But if you look at what they've written, many of them was actually flowing with the Bible in Genesis. And then it says there that Noah married Naaman. I said, wow! There you go. And I believe that if you ask a Jew today, they will tell you that Noah actually married Naaman. If Naaman was not part of human history, human ancestry, our ancestor, then Naaman's name should not be there. For the proof, Matthew, what do we have about the birth of Jesus Christ? How many women's name was mentioned in the genealogy? How can woman's name be in the genealogy unless they play a part in the history of mankind? So how many women were mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ? How many? Two. Well, who are they? No? Rachel? No, Rachel. Rachel. Right. And who else? And Ruth. You see? Woman's name are mentioned because they play a part in that lineage. In the bloodline. That's why we all trace back to the three sons of Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, who came from Noah and Naaman. That's why the supernatural is still in us. And that's why the blood must be shed to cleanse us. Not blood for blood. On that issue as being literal, but as spiritual. Amen. Alright, let's continue next week. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, as we continue to study further and bring to memory, Lord, the things that you have taught us. We know, Lord, many times we may just forget something ever so often, but you revive our soul, Lord, in thy word, refresh our mind. To make us to understand where we came from and how we are here today in the way that we are, the spirits of man, why there is so much antagonism, Lord, against thy word, and seek to do things, O Lord, our own way. But we know, Father, that serpentine nature, the carnality, how that Satan seek to destroy your word, your plan, your purpose, your family, and the people that belongs to you. But Lord, your word will always be in our heart. We pray that, Lord, you strengthen us to stand first in this last day and hold on to the faith that we have received from you. Father, commit the rest of the day to you in Jesus' name. Amen.